When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
Hello, folks, and welcome to our podcast. This week we're featuring the conclusion of our interview with Linda Bristol, who is speaking on behalf of the organization Grief Share. She tells some very inspiring stories about meetings that she has led, and she also tells how you can get involved with Grief Share if you've lost a loved one. We hope you will enjoy the end of this interview. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Thank you.
to contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you.
And now for part two of our interview with Linda Bristol.
I was wondering what part silence plays in helping a person deal with grief, because, you know, like Job's quote-unquote friends, we can all talk too much.
Yes, agreed. The best thing you can do when someone loses a loved one is say, "I'm so sorry for your loss," and then just be quiet. And then if you notice there's something that they need, you know, if they need somebody to go to the grocery store with, the, you know, for them, or they need somebody to, sometimes if it's a woman, you know, she might need to know how to pump gas, or she might need, you know, if you see a need, then don't ask if you can do it. Just say, "Hey, I'm going to take you to the gas station and show you how to pump gas," rather than saying, "Can I, you know, do you need me to help you go to the gas station and pump gas?" Just say, "I'm going to take you to the gas station so that you can pump gas. We're going to do it on Wednesday. Is that okay?" You know, that kind of thing. Because when you ask, of course, they're going to tell you everything's fine, because they don't want to, they want to keep up the appearances of being normal, of not having a difficult time, of not being lost. And they're kind of lost right in their grief. And then as time goes on, people come out of that. But at the very beginning, it's very difficult. And the best thing we can do is just say, "I'm sorry for your loss," and just be quiet. And if we notice they have a need, pumping gas is the only thing I could think of. But I mean, if we notice that they have a need, we can say, "Well, I'm going to come over and we're going to do this together. Is that okay?" Rather than saying, "Can I come over?" Because they're going to tell you, "No, everything's fine."
If we can go back to the idea of successful and unsuccessful ways of dealing with grief, we talked a little bit about successful ways, but we talked mostly about unsuccessful ways. I was wondering if you could tell us maybe some stories of people who have successfully dealt with their griefs, or elaborate on the one that you started.
Well, I found that after people go through grief share, for instance, and they have these 13 sessions that they go through, it talks about relations, it talks about why we have grief, it talks about guilt and anger, it talks about regret, it talks about all those things. Each week we address a different subject. That helps them to get over that particular week, that particular thing. But more than anything, it's the sharing. It's that you have 12 people in a room. All 12 people have lost somebody very, very dear and significant to them. And they're in their grief, so horribly down in their grief. And then they come and they hear other people's stories about their grief and what they're going through. And it gives them compassion on the other people. And it's just kind of a group dynamic where they go through this whole process together. I've been doing this for a while now, and every single session, people are so ministered to and so blessed, and their lives have just changed tremendously. It's such a blessing to be a part of this, you know, to be able to be a part of this ministry. So I'm blessed to do that and blessed to see that that's how it happens. But it really happens with the scriptures. We talk about scriptures when we are doing the homework, and how the scriptures apply to how God will take care of you in every situation. God understands. God is not angry with you, and God's not upset with you, and He knows what you're going through, and all those kind of things really, really help people kind of where they are. They don't have to get healthy before they feel God's presence.
Yes. How does encouragement play into this?
Well, I think they encourage one another. It's like, "Well, you know, I felt this way too, but this has really helped me a lot. And, you know, I did this, and this has helped me a lot, and I got through this," and that kind of thing. They do it as a group so that it's not like a lecture to one person. It's each person just speaking out of their own heart. And so as people hear that and then hear what's on the videos, the teaching on the videos and the things that the people have gone through on the videos and how they dealt with it, it gives them new ideas how to deal with it. And they're always dealing with something themselves that are on the videos. And then after the videos are over, we ask, okay, what ministered to you the most in that video? And then they go around the room and each person will tell something that ministered to them. For instance, yesterday, one of the things on the video yesterday was regret, and how a lady regretted because of COVID, she could not go in and say goodbye to her husband. And then there was a man there and he could not go in and say goodbye to his wife. So they didn't get to say goodbye when their loved ones died. One lady there said that the night before her husband died, she had talked to the nurse in the hospital and they were going to let her come in the next day for 15 minutes. Well, the next, he died during the night, so she didn't get to see him. So they all had regrets. Another lady had regrets that she didn't talk her husband into going to the doctor before, because if he'd gone before, he would probably still be alive. Somebody else regretted that she had taken her husband to a different doctor and she should have taken him somewhere else. So there's a lot of regrets. We talk about those regrets, and then one of the things I do is give them each a piece of paper and ask them each to prayerfully write down their regrets, all the regrets that they have that concern their loved one that passed. Could they please write down all the regrets? They do that, and then I have them shred them in a shredder. And I says, we're just giving those to the Lord right now. All those regrets, they're just going to be gone. We're giving them to the Lord right now. And as an act of doing that, but then we shred them. And it's just things like that that we do in class. So
that's great. So it kind of works as a visual aid as well?
Yes. Yes.
That's great, because it makes me think of what Jesus did a lot of times with his parables, and how the prophets did that, using things that were familiar or using visual aids to kind of reinforce different things to people. Would you say that's correct?
I would. One of the things I use at the first meeting, usually, I didn't this time, but usually at the first meeting, I have a picture of, and I can't think of the gentleman's name, but he's a sculptor, and he sculpted this man that's just kind of bent over, and the man's made out of wire, and he's got all these rocks, he's made out of rocks, there's all kinds of rocks in there, in this wire, and he's kind of bent over, and it's called grief, his sculpture is, and so I show the picture on the overhead of this man that's just over with all these rocks in him. And I said, that's what grief does to you. It just bends you over. It binds you. You can't move. You're just exhausted. You don't know. You can't handle it. And I says, during grief share, you'll find that every week we'll get rid of one or two of those rocks. And as we get rid of them, then you can stand straighter and straighter and straighter and straighter until the Lord has really brought you to a place where you can go forward. You never really move on. I mean, your loved one's always in your heart, but you can move forward. And by the time that sessions are over with, some people go through it two or three times, but by the time you're finished going through grief share, then you should be able to stand up and you'll be free and you won't have rocks. That's kind of what I say the first time.
Do the people that are going through grief share, do they share any experiences that they may have gone through or help people heal that way?
Yes, many, many experiences that they've gone through.
Have you come from that yourself?
No, I have not. The reason I started grief share is because there was such a need in our church. My husband's one of the pastors. He does a lot of memorials and a lot of funerals for people, and we didn't have anything for the people who were left behind. And so I kind of started looking around for a program that might help and to try to look for people that would do it. And it's better if you have someone who has gone through grief themselves or has lost a loved one to do grief share, because they can relate better. But I did not come from that place. I just saw a need and looked around until I found a program to kind of, I hate to say a program, a ministry.
Right.
Kind of found a ministry that fulfilled that need, and it really has. I mean, it's just really been such a blessing. And now we have there are people from all over that come to our grief share classes, just not from people. Anyone's welcome that's lost a loved one is welcome to come.
So lastly, I just wanted to ask you, if you were talking to somebody right now, say it was me going through grief, what advice would you give them?
Not to be hard on yourself. That everyone that's gone through grief feels this way, that feels like what you're going through. They have the same problems that you have. They feel the same way. Even Jesus wept when he lost someone. And Jesus understands where you are, and he can help you through this. And, you know, and then I would tell them about the good program I know about, the good ministry that I know about called Grief Share, and about how we share with one another and love one another, and how God brings healing. There's a lot of crying that goes on in Grief Share, but it's okay. It's kind of hard for the men when we've got a couple of men this time. And the first time that the one fellow was crying immediately, but the other one, the first time he cried, he was a little embarrassed. But in Grief Share, everyone cries. It's just part of the healing process. And God does a wonderful, wonderful thing with people when they're open up to others and they can see what others have gone through. They know in their heads that Jesus is there for them, but they're having a difficult time, a lot of them, trusting the Lord right now because they lost someone they loved. And they just kind of pull back. A lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people will pull back from church because it hurts them to go to church to sing all the spiritual songs, and their loved one's not there with them that has always been there. And so it takes a while for them to process all of that and to come back into right relationship with Jesus. Not saying they lost their relationship, but they've lost their fellowship with Jesus. And it brings them back to a place where they can really fellowship openly with Jesus again.
So to find out more about a Grief Share program or ministry that might be in my area, where would I look online?
It's griefshare.org, and put in your zip code, and I'll tell you, there's probably in any area, there's probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 in your area that within 10 or 15 miles from where you live. It'll tell you that you can call the leader, or you can put your name in the Grief Share form. You can put your name in, and then the leader will call you or will email you and tell you about the program and when it starts or where they are. Each session stands alone, so you don't have to start at the beginning. Like, we're starting session 3 next week. And someone can come in on session 3, and session 3 stands alone. And then session 4 stands alone, and that's the way it is. So if anyone has to go to a doctor's appointment or something and they have to miss one class, they don't feel like that they have to start all over again. They can just pick up the next time, and then the next class we have, they can make up those sessions if they want to.
Well, thank you so much, Linda, for coming on. We really appreciate what you're doing, and we appreciate your whole ministry. Is there anything that we can do to help?
No, I just think, you know, get the word out and let people know what we're doing. And we always need more leaders. If anybody's willing to help, we need people, not leaders, but facilitators. So we could always use more facilitators. But other than that, we're doing really well. So God's so good.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And that's a great note to end on, by the way. God is so good.
He is. Amen. And thank you so much, Tim, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Sure. We really appreciate it. And God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.